I'm grateful for Chris Dresp, who is our storyteller today. Let me share with you a little bit more about Chris. Chris has been participating in the Disciple Bible Study program that we provide at the North Carolina Correctional Institute for Women. Hopefully you read the article that includes her remarks about her experience in the last 7 years. Chris has discovered that God indeed has given her many gifts, like indeed He gives all of us gifts. And she has been using them now for some time, and one of those gifts is storytelling. Chris has shared this gift in prison. She shared it many times in the First on Chatham worship services. And this will be her first time to share it here. And so I've invited her to do that. And I would invite you to speak with her following the service that you might find out more about storytelling. If you're interested in it, we can give you information. She is a member, as indeed I am and Polly, of the Network of Biblical Storytellers. Chris Dresp, we welcome you. Give her a little round of applause as she comes forth to share the story of Pentecost.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking of God's deeds of power." Amazed and perplexed, they said to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine."
I hope you sensed some of the mystery and power of Pentecost, the birth of the church. There are two symbols for Pentecost: wind and fire. And as we understand these symbols, we'll understand a little bit more about Pentecost, and we'll understand a little bit more about the church, and we'll understand a little bit more about what we are doing here today and what we're called to do in the days ahead. First of all, the wind. Wind is mysterious. Wind is also creative. In Genesis chapter 1, it says that a wind from God swept over the face of the deep. The wind was present at creation. In Genesis chapter 2, God breathed into the dust life in Adam came alive. And the Hebrew word for that is ruach. And ruach can be translated wind or breath or spirit. Again, creative, mysterious. In the days of the prophet Ezekiel, the people had grown weak in their faith. And they were like a collection of dry bones. But God told Ezekiel to prophesy. And breath would come upon these bones, and flesh would come upon these bones, and these bones would indeed live again. Creative, bringing back to life God's people. Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus about, you cannot understand the kingdom of God unless you've been born from above. That word can be translated either above or again, but you see, Nicodemus takes it literally, and he says, he translates it again the second time. How is it indeed that we can re-enter our mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus, of course, explains a mystery of the new birth of creation. And he uses what? Wind. Hey, listen. It's like the wind. It goes and it comes, and you know not where it comes and where it goes. You know the effect, but the wind is like that. And so is the new birth like that. And so when we come to the day of Pentecost, the wind symbolizes for us that something new is coming into existence. And we call that the new community of faith that God is bringing together. It's called the church, open to people of all ages, nations, and races. Now, it is marvelous that on that very day, there were probably more people in Jerusalem than any other day. There were three major festivals in which people were commanded to take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. There was Passover, there was Pentecost, and there was the Feast of Tabernacles. Perhaps the one that had the largest crowd was Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. And people from all over the Mediterranean Sea, which encompassed their world, were there, a part of the pilgrimage. And they spoke in other languages. And on that particular day, a miracle took place of communication. And these disciples, when they were filled with the Spirit and created to be this new community, were able to speak in such a way that each person heard the good news in their own language. Peter interpreted that event and preached, and 3,000 people came into that new community. Only a God, only a Holy Spirit can do something like that. But when the wind blows, something of God is afoot. Now, let's take fire. I like fire. By the way, don't play with fire. Fire has represented the power and presence of God in the Bible. In Leviticus, the 6th chapter, verse 13, very early on, when it comes to worship, God instructed the priests, on that altar, there should always be a fire that is burning. Always a fire. To let you know that God is present. You know, that really impressed something upon me. And to this day, whenever I go into a place of worship and I stand up, if I notice that the candles aren't lit, I feel something is missing. And it's not that we don't have enough light. It's that we don't have enough respect to honor God who is present by lighting the candles. So fire represents the power and presence of God, the fire. Now in the wilderness, when the people were traveling, They were led during the day through the wilderness by a pillar of cloud, but at night by a pillar of fire. Pillar of fire. And so we come to this day of Pentecost, and on that particular day there were divided tongues of fire resting on each person. And that is to tell us that the speech that day was empowered by the presence and very power of God. The speech that day was a God event, a God-inspired, a God-filled event. And again, wind and fire giving birth and power to those disciples who only a week ago were trembling in fear behind locked doors, but now were walking through those doors with no fear to share the good news. And people were responding. Wind and fire. That's our heritage, folks. We were given birth by wind and fire. Now, in Raleigh, there actually is a church that's called Windborne United Methodist Church. I remember when it was founded, and I know the founding pastor. And they chose that name wisely, Windborne, because that is indeed what the church is. The church was given birth by wind and the fire. And the church, when it's at its best, is a movement of the Holy Spirit, a movement of wind and fire. And we see that happening in the book of Acts because the church fulfills the prophecy of Jesus. When you receive the Spirit, you will have power to become my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And we see that being fulfilled in the book of Acts. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit. We have a group of people who don't always know what they're doing or where they're going, but they're totally dependent upon the power of God. And when they speak, there is the conviction of God. There is the response of people to the love of God. You read the book of Acts and you say, wow. A little girl came home one day and said, Mom, Dad, we studied the Pentecost today. On that day, something miraculous happened. Peter told everybody that God loved them and the people believed it. And they came forward and 3,000 people joined the church. Mother and father said, yeah, that happened on Pentecost. The little girl looked at her mother and father and said, I think we missed that Sunday. The church is at its best when it's the church of the wind and the fire. But the church is at its worst when it ceases to be a movement and it becomes merely an institution and a museum for the saints or a monument to the past. Two ways for the church to exist today. As a movement of the Holy Spirit that is forever breaking new ground, doing new things to speak to different people of diversity, or simply to rest and talk about the way we did it in the old days. Two different ways. And there have been times in this church, there's been times in every church I've been in which I have seen wind and fire give birth to our fervent faith, and we've been able to do amazing things. And there's been times in this church and other churches when I've seen that we just ceased to be the movement and we've been simply the institution, and we've had lots of meetings and we've built a museum and we built monuments to the past. And so I wrestle with this tension because, see, we're a little bit of both. God chose to use us, you and me, people. God chose to use us. And so it's only natural that there's a little bit of tension involved in there because we have a proclivity to want to be in charge and to go back to building institutions. But nonetheless, the church has been in existence, has been doing wonderful things for over 2,000 years. And what has sustained the church? I'll tell you what has sustained the church and gives me hope for the church today and for the future. Because it's still born of the wind and the fire, and because we still come to the table. When we come to the Lord's table, I know we have a liturgy, but I want you to think about this. For this up here, we really need no words. Bread is broken. Bread is given. The cup is lifted up. The cup is shared. People all over the world will understand that language. The broken bread and the shared cup. And as long as we continue to come to the table, we ourselves re-experience something of the Spirit of Christ, and we begin to live by the wind and the fire again. That's our hope today on this Pentecost Sunday, as we come to the table. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. The wind comes. May the flame of your love, O God, burn brightly within my heart today. And when we pray that, the fire comes and renews our fervent love of God and neighbor. That's how we are to come to the table today. Now, the invitation. Christ invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Gracious God, we have failed to love you with all your heart and to be good stewards of your creation. According to your goodness, O God, have mercy upon us. We have failed to take up the cross of discipleship and to be good stewards of your gospel. According to your goodness, O Christ, have mercy upon us. We have failed to be faithful members of your church and to be good stewards of your spiritual gifts. According to your goodness, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The good news is that all who trust in Christ will have their sins forgiven and receive eternal life. As you hold this faith, I declare you are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now we come to the prayer of great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, good and gracious God. In the beginning, your Spirit moved over the face of the deep. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. Your Spirit came upon prophets and teachers, anointing them to speak your word. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. At his baptism, in the Jordan. Your Spirit descended upon him and declared him your beloved Son. With your Spirit upon him, he turned away from the temptations of sin. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as on the day of Pentecost. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.